Today's episode of the Locked On Sabres podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Mike, how's it doing? How's it going up in Leafland right now?
We're doing pretty good. You know, they've rebounded well after going on a little bit of a skid there where they had lost 6 of 8, but now they've won 7 of 8. So it's looking pretty good in Leafland. Buffalo starting to pick up some depth.
3-0-1 in their last four. 3-0-2, 5-game point streak, if you want to even go that far. Rasmus Dahlin looks awesome since Ralph Kruger got fired. Things are looking up. I mean, they're still, are they 6 points clear of anybody in the league? It's still not a fun season, but it's not, we're probably still are the laughing stock of the league, but a little of the attention might be off them for now. So
fair enough.
Speaking of attention, we'll have a little news item at the front of this podcast, but we're going to spend a lot of time on the trade deadline. This is the last time me and Mike are going to talk before the trade deadline. So next week, we'll obviously be recapping what happened on Monday the 12th, but this is the last time we will speak until it actually happens. So we'll preview it. Who are buyers? Who are sellers in the North and the East Division? We'll go through it all, but we're going to stick in the North for a little news start to the show here with the Vancouver Canucks, because it's getting bad. I mean, getting bad. It's bad right now for the Canucks. And the difference, I think, between this Canucks outbreak right now, that reportedly the Brazil variant of the COVID-19 virus has infected the team, the difference between this outbreak and outbreaks that the Sabres, the Stars, the Devils had earlier in the season is, it sounds like these Canucks players are actually really sick. Not to say there weren't some players in those other teams that were, but it wasn't a lot. Like, I know the Sabres had 12 guys on the COVID list, but really only one guy, Ristolainen, was experiencing symptoms. It sounds like there's talk of trainers going to Canucks players' homes to give them IVs. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, it's definitely bad, and you know, it's really the second, I guess, technically Montreal a couple weeks ago also shut down for a week. But like, this is the first major outbreak within sports, like in general, within sports. Like, they're up to over 20 positives within their team, whether it's players, practice squad players, coaches, and now other family members that they live with are starting to catch this COVID 19 Brazilian variant as well. And like you said, this doesn't seem to be an asymptomatic for a lot of these guys, and the fact that they're having to bring over IVs and there's some experiencing some nausea and some vomiting. And you know, I know up here in Toronto, the Raptors had a pretty bad hit with the COVID bug, and Pascal Siakam had it, and he said that he dropped 15 pounds from being positive with COVID, and whether that's just from being sick with the sweats or if he may have been vomiting as well. But even like, what, you know, mass weight loss is something that happens with these guys. And, you know, for hockey players and pro athletes, like, their body's their temple. And it's going to be interesting to see what Vancouver does here. And there's even some talk about them not even being able to finish their season.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think of that? Like, how does that even work? I mean, they're not really in a playoff race. They're 8 points back of Montreal, and they've played 2 more games. So for them, in terms of the results, it doesn't matter a ton. But you know, for other teams, it will, and other teams have games left against the Canucks, and that's the division that already has one fewer team than everybody else. So if you go to six, I don't know. It feels like it'd be tough for that to happen, but they might have to.
Well, what are they going to do? Roster basically an AHL squad and just lose every game anyways? I mean, I guess that would be the way to go around it. But, you know, if a lot of these guys, or even if only a handful of them are really sick and they can't play, I don't know what the league's going to do. This is going to be an interesting thing to watch because, like I said, this is kind of the first time in pro sports that we've dealt with such a serious case. There's been a lot of asymptomatic cases. Like in the NFL, you had some team outbreaks where there'd be like 8-9 guys, but they're pretty much pretty minor. This one seems pretty major, and I'll be curious to see how the league goes about it. I'm sure in the next week or two. I think today there was another player added to the COVID list, and I don't think that they can even skate or get together as a team and come out of quarantine until a week after. They need a week straight of negative COVID tests, and every single day for the last like 5 days they've been adding players to the COVID list, and another one was added today. So they're guaranteed not to play at least through till the end of the trade deadline, and that's even having them like step on the ice. So it's going to be interesting to see if this team is going to be allowed to play, what type of roster they're going to have to throw out on the ice if they do play, which it would be tough to honestly make them not play. They may have to just ice a bad lineup or a very young lineup. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening there, but it's going to have some massive implications on the trade deadline, I think. And I think it's going to be interesting how they navigate through this.
Yeah. How do you think it does affect the deadline? I mean, does it make Canucks players like off limits at this point because you just don't know when they're going to be able to join you? I mean, I wouldn't think the Canucks word would be in any way a buyer. So I think the selling part of it would be what's more impacted here.
Well, they're definitely sellers, but like, are you able to trade guys who are on the COVID list? And if you're not able to do it, then well, that's that. But if you are able to trade for them, if you're an opposing team and you know that these guys haven't been playing and some of them who might be really sick and lethargic and won't be quite at the tip-top level that you're expecting them to come in and play at, what are you going to give up for them? Are you even going to bother trading for them, or would you rather trade for someone who's healthy and going to be able to compete, not somebody who's, you know, hasn't played in 2 weeks and is going to be coming into a big playoff stretch and not having played for a while? I'm curious to see how this all works out. How do you think this ends up working out for Vancouver?
I don't think teams are gonna go near him. I think they're probably nothing's going to happen with them at the deadline because they got
good pieces, right? Like Tanner Pearson, I think, is a piece that a lot of teams are going to want. Someone with cup pedigree can slot him into your middle six, power play guy, you know, penalty kill. Like, he's a solid player. Jordy Benn, a good depth defenseman. Brandon Sutter, I've heard some news out there that there's some teams sniffing around him. Tyler Mott as well, another guy who somebody might be looking to bolster their kind of fourth line and somebody who's an energizer, power or penalty kill type player. Like, they have some pieces. The question is, if you're an opposing GM, do you roll the dice?
Yeah, I think if I'm an opposing GM, I might try to find a comparable player on another team and just not even have to deal with it. And right. I think someone's going to be left on a dance partner. If a bunch of teams are looking for rental wingers that can chip in some goals in your bottom six, like Tanner Pearson, maybe somebody goes, okay, well, this is really all we have left to do. So yeah, we'll give you a fourth or a fifth round pick. And hope that he's able to join us come playoff time. But I think you're going to need a very specific situation to come about for someone to kind of ignore the shutdown that's happening with Vancouver and even the border as well. I know really into the United States, there's not nearly as much restrictions if they were to trade him south of the border. So I'm going to guess that nothing really happens with them because of all of this. Also, one other name. Did you maybe he wouldn't be in the market at all? But I did think about Braden Holtby a little bit because they did just sign Thatcher Demko. They're committed to him as their number one goalie of the future, as they should be. And Holtby hasn't been that good this year, at least if I'm just looking at the numbers. But I think there should be a goalie market of around the league.
If there is a team willing to take this guy for any amount of cash, I think that the Canucks would be very wise to move him off the books. He's on contract next season for, what's he signed for? $4 million bucks.
4.3.
4.3, and they've got some contracts that they got to get re-signed. They did get Demko re-upped, which is good, but Pedersen's next. Quinn Hughes needs to be re-signed this offseason. Yeah. And although we talk about Tanner Pearson being a good trade chip, they're trying to re-sign him for whatever reason instead of get an asset for him. Considering that they're not making the playoffs, I think it would be better for them to just trade him if they can and try and bring him back in the offseason. But I'm not a pro GM. That is Jim Benning's job. But I mean, if anyone approaches them and wants Braden Holtby, I think they'd be more than happy to give him away for free just to get that money off the books next year.
The Canucks, without getting him off the books, they are going to be at over $12 million committed to their goaltenders. They will have $5 million to Thatcher Demko, $4.3 million to Braden Holtby, and they have that $3 million recapture against Roberto Luongo for one more year at 3.035. So it's a lot of money tied up in that.
That is the dumbest.
I know.
Dumbest thing. That is because no other team is ever going to have to get that recapture penalty. Like Shea Weber, they always talk about Shea Weber, and if he retires before like the age of 41 or 43 or something like that, then that recapture penalty is going to be massive. On
it's like Nashville. 14 million or something. It's something it nuts.
as high as I think I saw like 27 or 21 million or something like that. And there's no way that gets enforced. And it's likely that he ends up retiring before that point. So the Canucks are screwed. Like they're basically playing with a 79 or a $78 million cap where everyone's got 81.5. It's actually sad the fact that they actually are going through with this retroactive nonsense.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I think this is different now with the new CBA, but I'm looking at the Shea Weber cap recapture, and if he retired in 2025-26 at 40 years old, $24.5 million against the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, there's no you can't. Like they're just not going to, and then they're going to look at Vancouver and be like, "Well, sorry, it's the stupidest rule, right?" It's like, "Well, it was only $3 million against you, but 24." It's like rules are rules, pal. I think Vancouver, at the end of the day, just I guess since we're on this tangent, for me, I think at the end of this, like if actually no one else gets penalized by this and they decide to change it and waive it, I believe they get like a compensatory pick for having to be cap strapped for the years that Luongo is here. I truly, maybe not a first, but at least a second round pick for that.
Gotcha. The Sabres actually once made a decision with the fear of a recapture that when they had Christian Ehrhoff under contract on that insane 10-year deal, and it was like year four of the deal. And he had been good. He had not been amazing. I don't think he had nearly lived up to getting a 10-year deal, but he had been very good for them. And they bought him out with a compliance buyout just because they were terrified of the idea that, hey, if he retired in, I think it was like 2018, if he retired in 2018, then we're on the hook for $14 million against the cap. And like the Sabres are like, well, we can't have that. So we're gonna buy out a guy that's actually pretty good for us. So that recapture penalty is absurd, and I've seen it firsthand here in Buffalo.
So dumb.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We got off on a tangent there, but we were on the Canucks and what they might have at the deadline. Let's stick in the North Division and then we'll get to the East. Toronto is at the top. I you know what? Like I did this podcast with Tom Gazzola on Friday, and we were talking about the Leafs potentially going after a goaltender, but Mike, do they need one? Jack Campbell. I mean, he just keeps winning.
I know, man. All he does is win, but you know, could they use a goalie? If they do, it's really only a depth goaltender, like a third goalie, an additional third or fourth goalie. Everyone keeps talking about the fact that last year Colorado had to go down to Michael Hutchinson in the playoffs, and that just wasn't going to cut it. And clearly they ended up losing. And that was a big reason why they lost. I think if they had their number one or at least a good quality goaltender, not named Hutchinson, who actually played decent, but regardless, they probably would have been able to beat Dallas and go on a cup run. But, you know, the fear of that happening coupled with the fact that Jack Campbell can't seem to play more than two games in a row without needing a rest. And Freddie Anderson right now, he's got some weird lower body injury that is no one's really knows what's going on. They're being pretty secretive about it. He didn't make the road trip and he stayed behind to get treatment. So hopefully we get an update on Anderson this week now that they're back in Toronto. But for me, like, they're not going to go out and make a splash and bring in like a Braden Holtby or, you know, a number one goalie. Like, if anything, maybe a Bernier type guy. But even then, like,
this guy might be, I don't know if this fits to what you're talking about, but Devin Dubnyk in San Jose, he's only got 1 year left at 2.17. And he has not been the same thing. Like, he hasn't been great this year, but he's a guy with status that he would come in and be depth. But
Toronto, I think, has other needs, right? And for a team that's so cap strapped and right up against it, I think they have other things that they want to do. And goaltender is not at the top of the priority list. And if you're going to be spending close to $3 million or over $2 million, I guess, on a goaltender, on a goalie that may never even play, you know, is that really smart management of your cap and of your team? I don't know. I think you'd be better off spending that money on a guy who you can shove into your top six, or someone who could play a third pairing defensive role or a third line center, or you know, bolstering your everyday lineup, as opposed to, well, just in case Anderson and Campbell and Hutchinson goes down, we have a fourth goalie ready to go. I just think it's more of a luxury to have another goaltender, but it certainly wouldn't be at the top of my trade deadline wish list.
Yeah. Speaking, we'll get more of the North Division in a second, but you did mention Colorado in the midst there, and I know we don't cover them, but they have to add a goalie, don't they? I mean,
you don't think that Jonas Johansson's going to get it done?
He actually has had a couple nice games for them, but watching him over a period of years here in Buffalo, no, you should not trust him to right now be, he's a heartbeat away from the starting goalie job on what I think is the best team in hockey. And Philip Grubauer, I mean, of course, if he stays healthy, he's having a great season. He should stay in there. But they need to me. I think they need a way better plan B in case he were to go down with an injury. So
yeah, I could see them being a team that adds like a Thomas Greiss or you know, one of these goalies from one of these teams that are, maybe they're the suitor for Devin Dubnyk, because they actually have cap space to be able to make a trade like that.
Right,
and they need a number two. Like, the Leafs don't need a number two. They have one in Jack Campbell and or Freddie Anderson. But a team like Colorado, like, they need to upgrade at that goaltender position. You don't want to be one bad tweak away from starting Jonas Johansson.
No. No, not at all. All right, well, let's go back to the North. Winnipeg, Edmonton, Montreal. They're the buyers. Vancouver, who we already talked about, Calgary and Ottawa are the sellers. So starting with the buyers, do you think any of those teams make a big swing? I think about Montreal maybe specifically here because Brendan Gallagher has this long-term injury now. I forgot the injury though. Broken finger, thumb?
Thumb, yeah. Broken thumb.
So did Montreal, I mean, we were talking about them today about Taylor Hall maybe. It doesn't have to be Hall. Maybe Kyle Palmieri, who's being sat out by the Devils because he's going to be traded. With Gallagher's injury, I wonder if Montreal takes a bigger swing.
Yeah, I think that definitely changes things. Before this injury, I would have said, I'm not sure if they make a move. They already brought in Eric Staal. That's probably their big trade. I don't think they look at this squad and say, hey, this is the team that can compete and go for the Stanley Cup. So I don't think they're going to be giving up assets to go big game hunting and be in on a guy like Taylor Hall. Like, it has potential. I think the fit is there, but I don't know. Like, if I'm Bergevin, I probably don't move in all my chips this year. I probably wait and have my guys develop a little more. For me, the team that I am interested in, who I think outside of Toronto, who might be big game hunting, is actually going to be the Winnipeg Jets. And they need help on that blue line. That blue line is porous. And, you know, there's a couple of guys out there that are reportedly on the trade wing block. I think David Savard out in Columbus would be a good option. He's a pending UFA, a good steady Eddie, stay-at-home defenseman. He would be a good option for them. Just taking a look down here. I'm not sure if Matthias Ekholm anymore is going to be out there. Obviously, Nashville's fought their way back into the playoff race. Josh Manson out in Anaheim. Like, I think that this is a team. Brandon Montour, one of your guys out in Buffalo. Yep. I think they make an addition and bolster that blue line. If not one guy, I would even recommend they get themselves a pair of solid defensemen who can be in that bottom four.
I completely agree. I'd be almost stunned if they don't add at least one defenseman at the deadline. They have the forward group and the goaltender to win big, but they need to do better, I think, in that top six.
Yeah.
For their defensemen. So,
and they've got prospects. They got picks and prospects to move to bring in, yep, you know, a couple of higher named guys, whether it's Savard or Manson, or maybe somebody who we're not even thinking of who they can bring in for
sure. Something.
I don't know who, obviously we're not thinking about him, but you know, yeah, they can make some random trade. We always have a, wow, I didn't even know he was available, yep, type move. Right. So for the sellers though, the biggest, and I want to get your opinion on this, but for me, I think the biggest sellers here in the Canadian division, and not so much the fact that I think they're going to sell off a lot of players, but for me, the Calgary Flames are going to be someone I'm interested in following, because I went out on a limb here. I wonder if they'd be willing to move Johnny Gaudreau.
I know. I want to think that makes sense for them, because they should be hitting the reset button, shouldn't they? I mean, this core group of players has just not gotten it done for them. They're all great. Matthew Tkachuk's a phenomenal player. I don't think he's going anywhere, by the way. But more so Monahan and Gaudreau. Like, those guys have been great, but you haven't won anything with them. And Goudreau's got a year left on his contract before he hits UFA status. And it seems like whenever they come up towards making a big splash move, he always seems to be the name that's included. So I guess I think if they did move him, it would probably be more of an off-season trade. But see, no, I do wonder. It's in the back of my mind. Like, hey, I wonder if they would do this before the season's over.
Everyone says that, but I mean, if you're Calgary and you plan on moving on from him, you're going to get more at the deadline, because the team's going to want to pay up for two playoff pushes as opposed to one. You know what? Yeah. Like, so if you're Calgary, you'll probably get more. Sure, there could be more suitors, but I mean, I still don't think teams. Plus, you got the expansion draft coming up this summer too. Yeah. You're going to have teams looking to shed contracts and shed salary. Because they're going to want, or at least shed like players, because they're going to want to protect a certain amount of guys, and they'll be looking to make moves. And I think players are going to be kind of not so much in demand. Like, I think the supply will be high, and that could diminish his value. That being said, there's not a lot of Johnny Gaudreaus out there. I still think he's a phenomenal player, right, despite not playing so great this year. But, you know, the Flames, they're sputtering right now. They've won two of their last 10 games. Currently 8 games out of a playoff spot, but they have 5 more games played than Montreal. So no, they're done, absolutely done and out of it. And if they want to make a big move, I think Johnny Gaudreau could potentially be out the door. And a team that I'm thinking, maybe Colorado, a Boston,
Colorado. I would love him in Colorado. Oh, yeah. I would love that. I love watching the Avalanche already. And if they just add Johnny Gaudreau, it's like, it's their fourth best forward now. Like, oh my God. I am all in on them for the cup. They need to add a goalie though. Maybe David Rittich. Is David Rittich available? I don't think I've seen his name anywhere, but he is a UFA at the end of the year.
He's another guy who potentially in a package deal, go and get both of those guys. And it's funny you say that, actually, because after his start the other night against Toronto, they actually asked him, they said, hey, like, how do you feel? Like, this could be your final night in a Flames uniform with a deadline coming up in a week, and you're not scheduled to play again between now and next Monday. You know, how does it feel? How was your, you know, time here in Calgary? And they kind of already were trading him away as media post game. And so, yeah, he's someone who definitely could and probably should be on Colorado's radar.
Yeah, definitely. I love a Gaudreau Rittich trade package going to the Avalanche. That would be pricey, of course, but
they got him. They got picks and prospects.
They do.
right?
They have the cap. They have the commodity of the cap space too, because almost nobody has that. How much do they have right now? They have, so cap friendly has been weird this year because they only have them at $700,000 in. Projected cap space. Current cap space with all long term IR $9 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot. So
they can make that happen for sure.
That they could fit Rittich and Gaudreau without even moving anything. That's crazy. all right. Well, let's take a time out here. And when we come back, we'll fly through the East Division a little bit. Who are the buyers and sellers in that division? I think it's become pretty clear on which teams are going to make the playoffs in that division. So we'll do that when we come back on the Locked On NHL podcast, Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano.
RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. A word for Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly two, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly two. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On.
Welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast with Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. And also, be sure to be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you the tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, Dynasty, and DFS leagues. You can follow both the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast and the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, trade deadline. Sellers, who are the buyers? Who are the sellers? Let's go to the East Division, where I think it's pretty clear. Do you disagree with me, by the way? I'm pretty damn sure that it's going to be Washington, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, and Boston. I don't see anyone else, especially the Rangers and Flyers. The Devils and Sabres are obviously no chance. I don't think the Rangers and Flyers put together a comeback here. So
probably not. The Rangers, though, are playing some really good hockey right now. And you know, we saw them get hot late down the stretch. But again, I think they'll have to really win those games that they have remaining against Boston. I'm not sure how many they have left, but they essentially will probably have to like go undefeated against the Bruins the rest of the way. They have two games played more than the Bruins, and they're 5 points back. So very, very tough hill to climb. But yeah, I don't think I'm ready to say that they're out of it quite yet. Philly, well, we talked about it at length last week. They're just going straight downhill into the dumpster. So Philly will not be in this conversation for me. That being said, if we're going to discuss who the buyers and sellers are, the Rangers are a team who I see just staying pat. Like, I don't see them selling anybody off because they're still a good team. They got good pieces, and I don't see them trading anyone away. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any like pending UFAs that they're going to want to move on from. And at the same time, they probably aren't going to want to give up you know, pick some prospects to go out and make a trade, because that's a team who would probably like to make a sizable deal in the offseason to bring in another centerman. They've been linked to Jack Eichel, and again, that's more of an offseason type move. So yeah. As for the Rangers, despite being somewhat still in the race, I think that's a team that stands pat.
I'm trying to find it. There was one reporter from The Athletic, Rick Carpaniello, out of New York, and he wrote something about the Bruins being in on Chris Kreider again this year. They were last year, but Kreider's got the long-term deal now, so I don't think that really makes a whole lot of sense.
Kreider probably would have made sense a little earlier in the season if they kept going the way that they were early in the year, but I think the way that they've responded in the last month or so, they probably like their team going forward, and the way that Chris Kreider is playing, you know, I think he's such a big goal scoring threat. You're not going to want to move on from him.
Right. And so, you just signed him to a 7-year deal like months ago. So I thought it was weird that I read that. I wonder if it was maybe a little leftover from last year, just a little speculation, because I also haven't seen that anywhere else. So I think I agree with you there. I don't think the Rangers do much. It's kind of a combination of, they have so many young players, and so many of the young players are like these high profile guys that, even if you were buyers, like, you're not trading Kaapo Kakko or Alex Lafreniere. So no. They were maybe going to sit tight no matter what they were. But now that they are, you know, 5 points back, and they do have 2 games left against Boston. So if they were to win both of those, that's only a 1-point difference. That's not crazy, but you would have to win those games. So yeah. Okay. Maybe you're right. Like, I'm not going to declare them dead, but I would still be surprised, I guess, if they did come back here. So the Rangers are standing pat. The top of the division, the Islanders are, I think, the team that get talked about the most for adding a scoring winger.
Yeah, because, well, they lost Anders Lee, right? And that's one of their big goal-scoring threats next to Matt Barzal. And this is the team who I kind of circle as a potential option to land a guy like Goudreau or Taylor Hall. Yep. I think they are certainly a team that could go big fish hunting. The only thing that I wonder about those guys is, when you think about the system that Barry Trotz likes to play, it's very structured, very defensive, and neither of those two really tend to buy into that type of play. So I wonder if like coaching, the coach would nix a big deal like that. It's fun to talk about it on paper, but when I actually think about it and think about the fit with the system, it doesn't look as pretty to me.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, will those guys fit in that system? Because even Matthew Barzal has showed some frustration in the past about the system that he plays in. Yeah. And he's like the only guy that, I mean, he's not bad in his own end. He's not, you know, Patrice Bergeron either. But if you throw in a Taylor Hall, I wonder how frustrated those guys would be in a system like that. And, you know, like, I'll say this, the Sabres played a very Islanders-esque system with Ralph Kruger earlier in the year. Like, it was all lock it down, very conservative approach, trap the opposing team in the neutral zone, make sure your defensemen sit back, don't let them jump up into play. And Taylor Hall didn't do well at all in that system. No. So there's a question of whether not only would he get frustrated, but or whether would it work between the coach and player. I don't even think he would play all that well doing that for the Islanders. So no. I don't like Hall for them.
No, a name that I would like to throw out, though, potentially as a goal-scoring threat whose name gets bounced around there, Kyle Palmieri.
I like that for them. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that he would play a good defensive style game, structure game, and add some edge and gives them some bite.
Would those two teams make a trade, though? I don't know if there's any bad blood there. Would those two teams make a trade? They're like 20 minutes away from each other.
I would think so. I mean, like, Lou Lamoriello still has ties to New Jersey, I would think, right? And the fact that Palmieri's a UFA, you're not...
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's not like you're trading, you know, your superstar player there, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. The Islanders may have to pay kind of a location premium because they are still division foes. So maybe instead of, you know, second round pick, they may have to give a first, or, you know, I don't know, instead of a B level prospect, they got to give a B plus level prospect or something like that. That could be the case, but I don't think you know, Lou is going to hang up if he sees a Jersey area code come on the phone.
You know who I'm thinking of? Maybe I think it's the Rangers and Devils who like never made a trade. Like maybe they made one trade since the 60s. There's two teams right around there. I forget which combo it was that have like never made a trade together, but I'm pretty sure it's Rangers Devils.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Anyone else in this division interest you? I'll throw out the Washington Capitals for me. I wonder if they make a move. I'm very interested in the goalie market, as you could tell from this podcast. I'm very interested to see what happens in the goalie market because I think there's a lot of teams where it makes sense, and I would maybe want to throw Washington in there as well. Ilya Samsonov has not been strong in his 13 games played this year. Vitek Vanacek's been better than expected, but is that the guy you're going with game in and game out in the playoffs? I wonder if they would bring in a veteran type in that.
That's an interesting question. I never actually thought about them being involved in the goalie market because I kind of just figured that those two would be your guys.
They do have Craig Anderson too, by the way, if that's worth mentioning.
I also actually did hear that I think I read it maybe on The Athletic or I saw it on Twitter that they haven't ruled out a return of Henrik Lundqvist.
Really?
They haven't ruled it out. Yes. Okay. So if that is the case, I would be shocked if they went out and added. I don't think they would add another goalie anyway. I think they roll with Samsonov and Vanacek and just hope that, you know, they get hot or Samsonov turns his game around. Like he was a good goalie last year. I think he's going to be a terrific goalie. But I'd be hard pressed to see them making a move for another goaltender, maybe another defenseman. I could see them getting like, I don't think Zdeno Chara wants to play every single night in the playoffs. I don't know if you want to play him every single night at 44 years old. So maybe they could use another depth defenseman. I know that the Stars used 9D and the Lightning used 8D last year on the playoff run. So you always need a couple of extra guys putting around on the back end. So maybe add a depth defenseman for them. But outside of that, I don't know what else they could possibly add. I don't know if they go big fish hunting.
Alex Ovechkin's a UFA, huh? I'm guessing they're not going to sell that guy at the deadline. I didn't know his contract was up. That's interesting.
That is interesting, and there's been no conversation about it. Everyone's too worried about, is he going to pass this guy for the power play goal? Is he going to become the highest goal scorer? It's like, guys, he could head and bolt to the KHL next year because he ain't signed. And we're talking about the wrong stuff here.
Oh, I'd be so mad. I've spent so much time and I've done so much math trying to calculate what he would need to average to break the goal record that if he bolts for the KHL, I'm gonna be furious for the amount of math I've done on that topic. Anyone else in this division interest you? The Flyers, the Penguins, the Bruins? We've already kind of talked about the Devils and Sabres. I think Hall and Palmieri are the only guys to really mention there. Philly doesn't have a lot of UFAs. I know Scott Laughton, Michael Roffel, Brian Elliott. But
Scott Laughton would be a good ad for the Leafs. If the Leafs can get a guy like Scott Laughton, I actually like that. I talked about that a little bit yesterday as a potential ad, a guy for them. I'm trying to think what's Pittsburgh's cap situation like? They have $7.5 million on LTIR, but who's on LTIR?
Malkin. They have. Did you say Malkin?
Malkin's on LTIR.
Well, he's back.
He'll be back.
Coming back. Like I think actually he skated. He skated with the team this morning, and he's supposed to return this week. So that's going to come off.
So they've got no money.
Yeah, they have no money. They'd have to move money off and. Who are you doing that with?
I think trade for Michael Matheson this offseason.
That's such a good question.
$4.875 million for the next 5 years after this.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God. That is so brutal. Why are you making those deals? Oh, my goodness. But probably not now that I look at it. I was trying to think, like, Brian Burke tends to make some moves. Although, technically, I guess Burke's not the GM, but I always associate a Burke-led team with busy at the draft and busy at the deadline. But I don't know if the cap is going to allow them to do anything here. What are your Sabres? How active do you expect your Sabres to be? Is it a full fire sale over there?
I wouldn't say full because I think full would mean Linus Ullmark would get moved. I think they'll move the expected UFAs. Hall's going to get traded. He's out of the lineup. Colin Miller, I think, will get traded. Brandon Montour will get traded. Allmark will not. And I think a big reason is he's had a phenomenal season. I mean, I could go into a lot of numbers. I can go into 5-on-5 save percentage for you. I can go to high danger save percentage for you. You don't really have to look much further than he has a winning record on this Sabres team this year.
There you go. That's all you need to know.
And they have nothing else in net. So even though he's a UFA, it sounds like the Sabres are going to take the risk. They're going to risk losing him for nothing to try to re-sign him because they need to, because they have nothing else coming up yet in the system to play goalie for them. And if he doesn't come back, you're starting over. So otherwise, no, I think it's the normal UFAs that are out the door. One more goalie, because again, I'm goalie market obsessive on the podcast here. Tuukka Rask has this mystery leg injury that has kept him out of the lineup. And I'll throw their name in too, like another team that they don't have to add a goalie because they do have Yaroslav Halak still in the picture. Although I think he's even dealing with something too right now.
He's on the COVID list.
Yeah, COVID list. That's right.
Yeah.
So they'd be another team, you know, like maybe they take a swing at a Dave Rittich, or we didn't mention Chris Dreiger from the Florida Panthers. Like I could see Boston doing that if Rask's injury is serious.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. Is Rask a UFA at the end of the year too?
That also is true. Yeah, this is the last year.
Dreiger is actually really interesting because he's somebody who's played really well, and maybe Boston's the type of team that tries to bring him in here at the deadline, get a good look on him with their own two eyes and evaluate and say, hey, maybe this guy's got a little something in him, and maybe somebody who can be our goalie of the future. We can bring him in cheap because he's kind of an afterthought in Florida behind Bobrovsky, and next thing you know, they got themselves a pretty decent goaltender in Chris Dreiger. Maybe he's not that great of a goalie. Maybe it's just the system. Obviously, we're not that sure because his minor league numbers weren't great.
His numbers, though, with the Panthers, I mean, they're significantly is the right word to use. I mean, they're a lot better than Bobrovsky's.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Maybe it's not all system.
Yeah, but like at the same time, I think, who was it? Was it Jake Elliott had like Jake Allen had much better, but had much better stats than Brian Elliott, although they played on the same squad. And then Jake Allen became the number one, he kind of floundered.
That's right.
That's the only thing that I worry about Dreiger. If you give him the reins, is he going to be able to live up to the billing? Right. That's all I mean by that. But real quick, because there's two names that I want to discuss quickly with your Sabres, because I think that teams are going to be calling, right? When their teams are struggling, teams tend to not throw life rafts. They vulture, and a couple of names that I'm looking here that have had some, I would say, discussions around before: Sam Reinhart or Rasmus Ristolainen.
Mm-hmm. Reinhart, I don't think it's moved. I just think he's too valuable to them. He's actually back playing center, which I've been waiting to see for 3 years, and he's doing great at it so far. So the fact that they also have his rights as a restricted free agent, and he's integral. Like they don't have a lot of foundational type pieces, and I think he's one of them. I think he's a bona fide top six winger in this league, or even center. So him, I don't think it's moved. And then Rasmus Ristolainen, I think, should be a completely different story, but I don't know where they're at on him. Now, he's been here. I mean, fans and media will talk about, like, is Jack Eichel frustrated? Is he ready to want out? Even Reinhart gets that, too, because Reinhart's been here just as long as Eichel has. But Ristolainen's been here 3 years longer than both of them. He has been here through this whole playoff drought, and he has been very open about how frustrated he has been here. And it's always been interesting to me that kind of got Ryan O'Reilly traded, and Ristolainen has been like the same out in public and in the media. And it's like, well, we just don't care about him because he's tough and he cross-checks people. So I think he doesn't want to be here anymore. And maybe the Sabres still like him. I have never liked his game on this team. I think, you know, he's a very old school type defenseman. I think I can't believe a guy plays that much with the lack of ability to pass. that he does. I mean, he is just all over the place with passes out of his own end. And I think that's almost a requirement in today's game, to be able to move the puck well up to your forwards. So I don't want that that relationship to extend beyond next year when he'll be a free agent. But I don't think I have to worry about it, because there's no way Ristolainen is going to want to stick around for this. I mean, the guy's 26 years old. Like, he's going to want to go to a team that's competitive. And so basically that relationship is coming to an end, like whether the Sabres like it or not. So eventually they're going to have to move him. They're also factor in the Seattle expansion draft, where you can only protect three defensemen, and they're going to have to protect Rasmus Dahlin. They're going to have to protect Henry Okiharju, the former Blackhawks first round pick that they got from Chicago last year, who's been really good, and he's only 21 years old. And then they've got other promising young defensemen like Will Borgen, who's just now arriving in the NHL. And it's like, that guy, he might never be that good, but he might have a future with you, and you know Ristolainen doesn't have a future with you. So basically, I think they have to have a decision on him by the expansion draft, which would mean if someone came calling at the deadline, I think they'd be crazy to not trade him. So I think Ristolainen, I don't know how likely it is he gets moved, but I think it makes sense for him to be moved. And you know what? Like, I trash his game a little bit because he's not the type of defenseman that I would want playing 25 minutes a night. He has a role in the league. He has a role on playoff teams. Like, I could totally see a GM watching his game be like, that guy is a perfect type of playoff defenseman.
Yeah.
You don't play him 25 minutes a night, but in the right role, he'd be good. Like, I know we've talked a little bit about Zach Bogosian this year. Like, I think he's almost like a souped up Zach Bogosian, a guy that played way too much with the Sabres in a role that he was not suited for. But kind of like Bogosian, if you put him in a reduced role that he's better suited for, he'll actually look pretty good. And I bet that happens wherever he goes.
Yeah, problem is Bogosian right now is playing.
What's happening with my boy Bogosian?
Well, he's playing for $1 million, whereas Ristolainen at 5.4.
Right, that's right.
You can't really afford to put him in isolated minutes like that. That's the problem there. But one last question, and then I guess we'll wrap this thing up here. But every deadline, there's a hockey deal that you never saw coming. Uh-huh. Do you have any guesses of like a player who isn't a UFA, or you know, some a team that's not quite like a buyer that's buying from a seller, like just a straight up hockey deal that you think could happen this year, or a player that could end up being dealt or something like that?
I don't know how sexy it is, but I wonder what happens with Jonathan Drouin in Montreal. And he's got two more years after this year at $5.5 million. He is not producing for them. At least he's not in the goal department. And I haven't looked recently, but he's got 19 assists. But if I remember right, a lot of his assists have been secondary assists this year. So I'm not even sure how much of those he's actually creating. And he's on the third line for them, making $5.5 million. Like, I don't know if that counts as a hockey trade, but it could just be a kind of a Jonathan Drouin trade. You know, they move him to someone else for a similar player that might also could benefit from a change of scenery. And that would create cap space for Montreal if they were able to move him somewhere. So he's a guy I've thought about in the last couple of days. I don't know if that satisfies what you were looking for there.
No, it totally does. And the reason why I asked is because, I mean, we're sitting here having this conversation, and I'm sure you're doing just what I'm doing. You kind of pulled up taking a look at the players on the teams, who's got their contract running up and whatnot. And when I pulled up the New York Rangers, I actually stumbled upon a name where I thought to myself, I wonder if they'd consider moving him in like a hockey deal. And it's Jacob Trouba, 27 years old. Right-hand shot. He's got 5 more years left on his deal at $8 million after this one. But with the emergence of Adam Fox, I wonder if they'd be willing to move on from Trouba and alleviate that $8 million cap hit for the next 5 seasons that they're going to need to pay Kako. They're going to need to pay Lafreniere, Kraftsoff. Technically, Adam Fox still is going to need to get paid
at some point.
Yeah, Ryan Lindgren, who's also an underratedly pretty good defenseman for them. Keandre Miller, Shesterkin needs to get paid this offseason. Like, they've got quite a few young players and young talent that needs to get some money. Bushnevich, who's having a great season, needs to get paid this offseason. So to me, I kind of, this may be more of a summer type deal, but to me, a guy like Jacob Trouba, if you're a team looking to bolster that blue line, and if you're the Winnipeg Jets, I mean, I got to take a look and see if they can make the numbers work, obviously. But you bring Trouba back into the fold if you're Winnipeg, you give up, you know, a first, a top-end prospect, maybe give up Ville Heinola, a first-round defenseman that they took a couple of years ago, plus a first-round pick, and, you know, you add something else to make it even out on the money portion, maybe a Matthew Perreault and something else who's making some good money. But I wonder if Jacob Trouba could be a random out of the blue, like, oh wow, I didn't expect for him to get traded type of thing happen on Monday.
I'll throw one other name out there. I do like that one. This guy's name always seems to come up every year. It's like, oh, I wonder if he could be traded, and he never really does, and it never gets that far. But Jonathan Marchessault in Vegas. I feel like 2-3 years in a row, it's like, if there's a big enough name out there, Vegas would use him with something else to go get that guy. And I don't know who that player could be that's available. Maybe even one of these Calgary guys could fit that profile. But I've always wondered if Vegas keys in on what they could see as like a superstar or a star-level player. Marchessault's name has been in trade rumors for a couple years. He has not been, I don't think, at all this year. So I'm kind of going back, reaching back with that one. But he's a guy I've wondered about in the past. So
that would be interesting. That would definitely be an interesting one. I think, yeah, I guess we could probably end up doing this for hours. Just take a look. So maybe we'll end it right there. But
there's not a lot of these anymore, though.
Yeah, you're right. There's really not. I'm just
a little
trying
bit
to
of a comeback.
Teams that are like kind of on the cusp here, and I don't know. There's not really much out there, I suppose. If Tyler Seguin was healthy, I think Tyler Seguin would be a guy who I would be like, I wonder if a team would be looking to make a move there. You know, someone who's looking to add at the center ice position, like a Montreal, who definitely needs some center help, a veteran type centerman to help the young guys along. That, no disrespect to Eric Staal, but has a little bit more left in the tank than Eric Staal. Like that would be somebody, and I think he's coming back rather soon, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, I don't think that's going to be the case. That would be the gamble. But the one other name, I think so we could probably do this for the next hour. But the one other name that I have kind of wondered, do you think the Patrick Laine experiment in Columbus has run its course?
I'm going to say no, because I think the Tortorella relationship is coming to an end there.
That's true.
And I think if they have an idea that Tortorella is gone at the end of the year, they might want to, they should want to see what Patrick Laine looks like with a different head coach. He is an RFA. They still do have his rights, but they still do need to give him a contract. So a decision has to be made there. But yeah, I think if I were them, I would hold out, see what happens with Tortorella. And then maybe see what Laine looks like with different head coach, but I wouldn't move him that quickly. That'd be my answer to that.
That's a good answer. I guess I didn't really think about the fact that they could move on from Torts and pick the player over the coach, because
it might not even
does that.
It might not even be up to them, because the noise seems to be Tortorella wants a different landing spot or wants a different scene, a change of scenery. I don't know where. I mean, of course, it would depend on what's available. We'll see what happens with all these guys. There's going to be one of these trades you're talking about that will happen on deadline day, I'm betting, that we just don't see coming at all. It always seems to happen. So
yeah, I mean, I guess technically we discussed Goudreau already. He may even qualify as that kind of sneaky under the radar type move, where it's like, whoa, I didn't realize they were looking to move on from him.
Right. So. Yeah, that would still be surprising, even though we did talk about it. Yeah. All right. Well, more on the deadline for our specific teams. You can check out Locked On Sabres with me, and you can check out Locked On Leafs with Mike. And if you want any of these other teams, you can check any of these out across the Locked On Podcast Network before Monday's trade deadline. So thanks everybody for listening. Me and Tom will talk more about the deadline on Friday. And then a week from tonight, next Tuesday, me and Mike will be recapping what happened on deadline day. So we will talk to you then. And this has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.